Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. We believe small actions can have great impact. Take a small action today. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
The Dáil is due to vote next week on the ban on rent increases bill being proposed by Sinn Féin TD Eoin Ó Briain. What's the likelihood of the bill being passed? And if so, would it put manners on the rental market or just decrease supply? I'll be discussing this with Eoin. I'm also joined by Pat Davitt, the Chief Executive of the Institute of Professional Auctioneers and Valuers. Pat, first off, can you sort out for us, please? We hear all sorts of anecdotal evidence about the pandemic and its impact on the rental market. What are you seeing?
Good evening, Philip. I suppose since we got into the COVID, everybody thought that the rents were going to would decrease as property values would. And as according as the lockdown happened, I think even a lot more people were convinced that this was going to happen. But when offices got open again and the rental market, like it was going all the time, but obviously when we got back to seeing what was going on and what was happening, it never looked like the rents fell slightly, and they did. The market did soften a little. The residential market didn't soften at all, and some prices actually have gone up in the sales market. Now, in the rental market, which is slightly different, looking into it in a long-term type of thing, or looking into it over the past, whichever way you want to look at it, over the past, the Airbnb we thought was going to bring a lot more properties on the market, a lot more stock into the market. Certainly in the short-term market, that doesn't seem to have happened. There are extra stock, but not to the amounts that we thought was going to happen. Obviously, the whole student scenario this year, with students, some of them being on campus and some of them not being on campus, a lot of people felt that that would bring more stock on the market as well. But overall, Philip, the market is steady. I'd say it has softened slightly. At the top end of the market, I'd say some of the rents are high and probably over the market rent, what should be market rent. And at the bottom end of it, I'd say some of them are lower than what they should be at market rent.
So, Pat, you're telling me, even though we have had the most recent figure, 0.5% drop in house prices, we've seen quite a large number of Airbnb properties move into the longer-term rental sector. And there's an awful lot of students not taking up student accommodation because of the uncertainty as to whether they're actually going to be going to college or not. And none of that has made an appreciable impact on the rental market.
Yeah, I don't think it's made an appreciable impact on it, but I think it definitely has softened the market in some places and in some areas. I think there's still supply and demand is what drives the market. And there's little supply and there's lots of demand. And as long as that's there, prices are going to stay where they are, maybe in some cases where there's very, very little stock higher, and in some places where there is more stock lower. And that's really where we are, Philip, in a nutshell.
Okay. Eoin Ó Briain, does this surprise you that the market just stubbornly refuses to respond to market forces?
No, and I suppose those of us who keep a very close track on the market will have been looking at, for example, the Residential Tenancies Board data in March, which actually shows a 5.4% increase in new and existing rents on March last year. DAF.ie had their price report that was out in June and July. And that showed a softening, as Pat says, but still a marginal increase of 0.5% on new rents. New rents in Dublin are still over €2,000 a month for a standard property. Outside of Dublin, they're still €1,400. And they're real pinch points across the state. One of the things we also need to understand is, and I've been raising this with the last minister, I'll be raising this during the debate on my bill tonight with the current minister, is we're also losing a significant number of rental properties year on year. We had lost up to 12,000 or 13,000 rental properties over the last 2 years. And I got new figures from the Residential Tenancies Board this week. We've lost another 4,000 this year. In the main, they seem to be semi-professional or accidental landlords, many of whom, the moment positive equity returned to the market, they started to sell up, or they just, you know, they never fully understood the active nature of being a landlord. They thought it was a passive investment. So while there is a small trickle of short-term lets or former student properties into the long-term letting market, there's a greater exit. And the really big worry I have is the new properties that are coming into the market are by and large being funded by the large real estate investment trusts. They are built to rent. They've been bought for very, very large sums of money because, of course, the investors have access to significant sums of equity finance from abroad. And the prices they're being rented at are at the top end. So, you know, you look around the Docklands, for example, and you'll see new rentals.
Are you saying that their deep pockets allow them not to have to pay attention to what is happening in the market?
Worse than that, what's happening is they're outbidding each other by paying very, very high prices, often, of course, buying in bulk from the developers. So you're seeing, for example, new rentals in the Docklands for 3,000 plus in Dublin for a standard two-bed. And as the Business Post recently reported, Killian Woods, some really good journalism, a significant number of these units are remaining vacant. So even the new stock that's coming in is still far, far too high. And the bottom line is this: renters are paying in the main far too much for rental properties, particularly new renters. And that's why we need this bill passed tonight.
And this bill, if I can sum it up in a line, would it be fair to say that it will allow rents to fall, but it would ban any future rent increases for 3 years?
Exactly. And it's part of a package of measures that we have strongly argued for, because Pat is also right. There isn't enough new supply and affordable supply coming into the market. So we want to see four things. The first is we want a ban on rent increases for new and existing tenancies for a 3 year period of time. We also want to see in the budget in a number of weeks a substantial investment in affordable cost rental accommodation to be delivered by the state and approved housing bodies. We also need to stop over-relying on the private rental sector for social housing through HAP and rents supplement, so that if we increase social housing, that reduces that reliance and frees up more stock. And we also need to address the exceptionally generous tax incentives that are given to real estate investment trusts, particularly when compared to standard landlords, where many of these investment trusts aren't paying any tax on their rent roll at all. So we want a package of measures, but the three-year ban on rent increases, the bill we're having this evening, is one of those.
Okay, well, let's go back to that one. Is it wise to tie the government's hands with a three-year ban when you really don't have a crystal ball? You're not going to be able to look that far ahead into the future, because let's just take one possibility that we could end up in an inflationary cycle after a hard Brexit, and that if your bill was in place, it would only allow for rent decreases at a time that the market would be inflating.
Well, our problem, of course, is that if you look at the profile of renters, in the main, they're working in sectors of the economy that haven't got back to work and are unlikely to get back to work or full work next year. So their incomes are actually declining. The CSO published only a couple of weeks ago figures on deprivation, and they found last year the level of deprivation within the private rental sector had jumped from about 29% to 33%, and that was before COVID. So whatever happens with Brexit, by and large, people in the rental sector are on lower or modest incomes. Some of them are desperately trying to save to buy a house, and they're therefore having to save and pay high rents. And it's simply not acceptable for a society where rents are now costing almost twice what a new mortgage would be. And people are locked out of buying or paying 40 to 50% of their net disposable income on rents. So we absolutely need to put a pause. Our bill does have an annual review built into that, so you could take account of potential changes. But let's be clear, we have lots of problems in the private rental sector that need to be addressed in other ways. But heaping additional costs on hard-pressed working renters is not the solution to the overall instability of our rental market.
Briefly, Pat Davitt from the Professional Auctioneers and Valuers, what impact do you think that regulations like those that Eoin Bryn is proposing would have?
I think, listening to Eoin, there's nobody that could argue with what Eoin is saying. He's saying a lot of the things that the Institute of Professional Auctioneers say. Recent and most recent governments have allowed these funds to run up the price of new housing by bringing new properties into the market with no, they were outside of the RPZs, the rent pressure zones, and remained outside it for numerous lets until the 1st of July last year, after many, many, many times we have asked the government to talk to them, and eventually they saw the value of curbing this and only allowing these new properties to have one run at the rental. The scenario with the rental bill and the 3% in the rental bill is, in any of the properties that are outside of rent pressure zones at the moment, we have a 2-year rent freeze there at the moment. And what happens is that when properties come out of the rent freeze zones, they immediately go back up to the rental level. So tenants could be hit with huge rent increases at that particular stage. Now, it doesn't say in this bill, and I'm reading it, and it's a simple bill and it's easy to read, I don't see anything in it that says that this couldn't be extended for a further 3 years or something like this. Okay. So if there's landlords and that going to buy into this, I think we need certainty on it. And would I say that it's the worst thing in the world to have a 3% rent increase or a rent increase for three, or a rent decrease or a rent stabilisation for 3 years? I probably wouldn't, depending on the conditions. But I think 2 years, I think, is adequate. Okay. I don't think 3 years is necessary.
All right,
Pat, best of luck to Owen with his bill.
All right, Pat Davitt, thank you very much.